Hey there, I'm Victoria, a certified Christian life coach, author, motivational speaker, and university educator, and I am obsessed with helping you navigate through life's ups and downs so that you can live day by day in God's peace despite the many external demands on your time and energy. The Choose to Think Inspirational podcast is about the delicate dance between God transforming you from the inside out and your personal responsibility for change, maturity, and refinement as a Christ follower. On the show, I'll help you connect the dots between your faith and your life in practical, meaningful ways while giving God room to do what only He can do, and so that you can shine your light for Christ and be better equipped to serve your family and help others around you. You can change every area of your life, one thought at a time. Welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast, Brain Changer. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome or welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast. This is Victoria, your host, and I'm so delighted to get into Psalm 54 with you today. There is so much really solid and rich information that you're going to, after you listen to this episode and consider the Psalm, you're going to be like, wow, I've got a little bit of a new perspective on life. And be sure to stay tuned to the very end. I have a special prayer for you that I want to pray over you. But what's the big deal about Psalm 54? As I read it, I was astonished at how in 7 sentences and 103 words, David goes from fear and terror to absolute delight and confidence in God. Say what? How did he change his thoughts so quickly? I thought he must have been a master at my 7 R's for living his best thought life. LOL. In Psalm 54, David made 3 remarkable shifts in his thinking. He chose to have thoughts of faith over thoughts of fear and anxiety. 2, thoughts filled with gratitude instead of focused on the reality of his situation. And 3, victorious thoughts of deliverance instead of those deafening thoughts of defeat. Now, before we dive in, here's a bit of a historical snapshot of David's life up to the point this psalm appears to reference. The subtitle to Psalm 54 gives us a hint. It says, "For the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, is not David hiding among us?" So you may wonder, when did the Ziphites go to Saul and say, is not David here with us? Well, let's quickly run through David's early life. He was anointed as king by the prophet Samuel as the future king of Israel while he was still a young shepherd. Do you remember that? This anointing took place while Saul was still the reigning king. David gained fame by defeating the Philistine giant Goliath with a slingshot, showcasing his courage and his faith in God. Do you remember that story? Later, David served in King Saul's court as a musician and armor bearer. However, Saul grew jealous of David's popularity and his perceived threat to his throne. Saul's jealousy drove David to become a fugitive, and as he fled from Saul's attempts to kill him, it was during this time that David gathered a group of loyal followers, and I think they're referred to as the Mighty Men. This was the time period that David might have penned Psalm 54. That's just the backdrop here. David and his men quietly went to the Ziphites, hoping for a bit of rest in all of his fugitive flights and fights. But to earn favor with King Saul, the Ziphites betrayed the innocent David. Charles Spurgeon writes this, "He, David, turns to God in prayer, and so strong was his faith that he soon sang himself into delightful serenity," end quote. Think about that. In this psalm, you're going to find that David sang himself into delightful serenity. Can you do that when times are really rough in your life? Can I? Well, let's take a peek at how David did it with the words he wrote. Remember, your thoughts become words. In a remarkable fashion, David so quickly switches negative thinking to positive, life-giving thinking. I've broken the psalm down into 3 parts, and I'm going to read the psalm this time as we go. So what are those three shifts in thinking that David demonstrated? Number one, faith over fear. In Psalm 54, we read these lines that indicate how fearful David felt. The psalm launches with his cries for help. David is desperate as he calls out from a position of fear and insecurity. And he says this, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth." Gosh, have you ever prayed like that? Save me, God. Hear me, God. Listen to me, God. Do you hear me, God? You ever prayed those sorts of desperate cries to the Lord? Well, the first move that David makes mentally, and you've heard it, is focusing on God's faithfulness over his own personal fear. David kickstarts his song with faith over fear. He is priming the pump, so to speak. He launches this psalm by declaring he needs help. And I mean, where else could he go but to God? He wrote this once in Psalm 121. He said, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." So David very quickly brought to mind these principles and these truths. In launching his psalm with such desperation, he sets the stage for a shift in perspective from despair and anxiety toward the maker of heaven and earth. Even his fear is laced with faith. He talks about God's name and God's strength. He says, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. So though I'm desperate, I'm remembering that your name is powerful and that you are mighty." That's what he's saying there. Though he begs for help, he knows that God is the only help he needs. David admits he is in a dire strait, and he sets the tone for a shift from negative, fear-filled thoughts to positive, life-giving thoughts. He was scared spitless, it seems. But instead of dwelling solely on how much he feared his enemies and their ruthless attacks, he directs his focus toward God, knowing God would save him and vindicate him. His focus included a depth of knowledge. He knew God would help and sustain him, and it included trust. He trusted God's power, and God's full of faith. God is faithful, full of faith. He trusted that to deliver him from his troubles. So let's apply this verse to your life. Do you have any current, quote, enemies? Is anyone persecuting you or hounding you? Are you a target in any way by any person hell-bent on your destruction? For example, I do know of women who are trapped in physically abusive relationships for which this might apply. But if you're listening now, the chances are very slim that you would say, "Yes, I have literal enemies in this life out to get me, and I'm afraid for my life. They might kill me," essentially. But we all, no matter where we live, have an enemy of our souls. When David describes his enemies in the Psalms, often I think of Satan as my enemy. And if you are toiling alongside Jesus under his yoke day in and day out, you can bet the devil will try to come between the two of you. And when you feel alone, afraid, isolated, or terrorized from any angle, you will be challenged to take your thoughts captive and bring them under submission to Christ. So picture yourself walking through a pitch black forest with no light to guide your way. Fear creeps in as you stumble over roots and branches, unable to see what dangers lie ahead. Conversely, having faith is like walking through that same dark forest, but carrying a powerful lantern that illuminates your path. Though shadows may still loom and uncertainty persists, the light of your faith guides your steps, dispelling fear and showing you the way forward with clarity and assurance, but only one step at a time. The light you hold in your hand is God's word. Now, here are a few reflection questions for you to kind of dig a little bit deeper and give you those replacement thoughts. And maybe you can feel and sense the shift that happens when your focus also shifts. For example, have you ever said, I am facing overwhelming challenges at work. My job is so toxic. It is so difficult. And I'm afraid I won't be able to handle them all on my own. A good, solid replacement thought might be this: though I feel overwhelmed, I trust that God is with me. I can turn to Him for strength and guidance in navigating these challenges. See how I would much rather use my mental energy to focus on that kind of thinking instead of so much on my fears. Here's another example. I'm worried about my loved one's health issues. I fear the worst and I feel powerless to help. Try replacing those kinds of thoughts with this. Even though I'm concerned, I know that God is the ultimate healer. I will pray for my loved one's well-being and I'm going to trust in God's plan for their health. Do you see the difference? One is focused on my fear. The other is focused on my God. So then anytime you feel yourself ruminating on your fears and heartaches, try switching to new thoughts that help to calm your heart and rewire those neural pathways in a much healthier direction. Charles Spurgeon writes this, quote, "The vigor of faith is the death of anxiety and the birth of security." Let me read that again. The vigor of faith is the death of anxiety and the birth of security. Well, what does he mean? The stronger your faith, the lesser your fears. Feeling secure is a byproduct of faith. But remember, your faith can be tiny and still be effective. This is more about God's faithfulness than your level or size of faith. In our journey, you and I want to make sure we are doing everything we can to foster and grow our personal faith while never forgetting that the object of our faith is faithful. God does not give you a spirit of fear. The trick is to learn to focus less on your fear and your despair and your anxiety and more on the God who is faithful to help you overcome those things. Do you remember the story of the two wolves? It goes like this. An old Cherokee Indian chief was teaching his grandson about life. He said, "A fight is going on inside me," he told the young boy, "a fight between two wolves. The dark one is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The light wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, security, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, grandson, and inside of every other person on the face of this earth." Oh, the grandson ponders this for a moment, and then he asked, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee smiled and simply said, "The one you feed." So, you can feed fear or you can feed faith. Which is it? And what nourishes your faith, practically speaking? Here are five concrete and practical ways to grow your faith: regular prayer, studying your Bible, attending church, practicing gratitude, and serving others and being kind and loving. You may not see immediate minute-by-minute results, just like you don't see the slow growth of a plant. You trust the flower will grow because you tend to it and you give it water and you make sure it's planted in the proper soil and it receives ample sunlight. You see the flower slowly growing on the daily. And then one morning you look out and the rose bush is in full bloom. so is your faith. You keep doing the right things and growth will be taking place. So you may not sense it or really feel it along the way. Your faith will increase whether you feel like anything is happening each day or not. You trust that God is at work in your heart and mind through the progress that you are making. And though this progress and this process is not always visible minute by minute, in the long run, your faith will bloom. So we understand from Psalm 54 that David switched from a desperate cry for help that echoed the fears of his heart to the acknowledgement that God's very name and his strength, his might, would sustain and vindicate him. Well, what did David think next? What was his next switch? And this takes us to number two. He went from the details of the situation itself to gratitude and praise. He said this, "Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good." And those are verses 3-6 of Psalm 54. Well, he speaks what is real in his life. David says, "Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God." But then he immediately switches to the declaration that God is his help and that the Lord will sustain him. He turned to God for deliverance, something he did quite often, we know this. He chose gratitude and praise and thanksgiving over continual, let's say, grumbling or even agonizing over his situation. He doesn't avoid the facts, but he doesn't allow his mind to stay stuck on the natural either. He trains his mind to shift to what is supernatural. David deliberately moves his perspective from the natural to the supernatural. He praises God despite his situation. He declares his intention to offer sacrifices and praise to God, recognizing God's goodness and God's faithfulness. By expressing thankfulness and focusing on God's positive attributes, David uplifts his spirits and strengthens his faith. And that can happen to you. What is one big fear you have at this moment? Just take a minute to think about that. What are you afraid of? What are you anxious about? What are you worrying and fretting over? Does anything pop into your head? And the next thought is, how can you create headspace and thought waves to ditch the details of that very real situation in your life and replace those details with a high voltage of praise and gratitude? In other words, how can you de-energize those thoughts that focus on your very real situation and instead energize or bring to the forefront of your brain those thoughts charged with thanksgiving? It might look like this. Let's say you're saying to yourself, "Oh, I'm so focused on what's going wrong in my life that I've forgotten to be grateful for the blessings I do have." Do you find yourself grumbling and complaining? I'll never forget when I put the challenge out there, stop complaining challenge. I had 23 women on Facebook in that private little group who raised their hand saying, "Yeah, I got a little bit of a struggle here going on in my life. I'm really focusing on grumbling and complaining." And they all said, "I want to ditch that kind of negativity." Well, what they were grumbling about, what I was grumbling about and complaining about, may have been very real situations in their lives. You know, maybe somebody had to move, or maybe someone was moving, and moving is tricky, right? It's hard. When you're in a transition state, it's really difficult. Some of them may have had wayward children. When you're dealing with a teenager or someone who is kind of off the charts and doing things like not according to the plan or what you thought your life might be like as you're raising teenagers, my goodness, that can really send your heart into a tailspin. And so I had such a good response to that challenge because we all struggle with that. It's easy for us to focus on what's going wrong in our life, and they can be very real, concrete scenarios. You know, the tire is flat. The stove is broken. I lost my keys, my key fob. Once I lost my key fob, I spent $70 to get a new key fob for my car. It's so easy for our minds to be biased toward that negative. But what David is doing instead of staying focused on his very real scenario, he switches to gratitude and praise because he knows there's life there. There's hope there. There is light there. So what you could say instead of focusing and ruminating on what's going wrong in your life is say something like this. This is a good thought to engage and to energize. You can say, despite my challenges, I'm thankful for the love of my family, the support of my friends, and the countless blessings God has given me. You can even be specific there. I choose to focus on gratitude and praise instead. And then anytime you feel that little, you know, grumble start to roll around in your brain, you're like, nope, not going there. You stop it dead in its tracks. You delete it and you paste over a thought that gives you energy and strength and that focuses on who God is, what God says about you and your scenario. Have you thought this thought? I feel so discouraged by my failures and shortcomings. It's hard to see any goodness in myself. I've had that. I've confessed that even on the pickleball court, however minor that may sound to you. I know that God is working something out of my very character, my very soul. I have something that's bent a little bit out of shape, this competitiveness that I feel. And you know I've been working on that, but sometimes it's so doggone discouraging because I'm like, oh, am I even changing? I want to be so much like Christ, and I want to be my whole being to be so transformed, yet sometimes it's a slow go, and I don't often see the results, and instead I'm focusing on my failures and my shortcomings. But what if I said this to myself instead? Instead of dwelling on my mistakes and my slow growth, I will praise God for his forgiveness and grace. I am grateful for his love that empowers me to learn and grow from my experiences. What if my focus instead is on the growth that I know God is producing in me? That is much more hopeful, isn't it? Well, do you remember the analogy that we use for fostering faith over fear, where you're traveling through the pitch black forest, but you have a lamp in your hand to help guide you? Well, check out what gratitude and praise will add to this mix. Picture traipsing for days through this desolate, dark forest, this wilderness, and you're surrounded by uncertainty and danger. Fear overwhelms you as you worry about the perils that lurk in the darkness. You feel vulnerable and defenseless, but you have that light in your hand. And then you discover a sturdy shelter amidst this wilderness. Instead of dwelling on your very real situation and the fears it induces, you take refuge in the safety of this shelter, grateful for its protection and provision. As you lift your voice in praise to God for his faithfulness and goodness, you find strength and comfort knowing that he is with you, guiding you through the challenges you are facing in this wilderness. In other words, also, let's go back to David, because in the midst of his fears and uncertainties, David boldly declared, "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me." In your very real and agonizing experience, can you begin to acknowledge and praise God's very name? Here are some of his names. Here's what David wrote about God in Psalm 18:2. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Can God be your stronghold? Can his name be your refuge, your strength? In Proverbs 18, it says, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Can you run into the tower of God's name? Oh, it's so good, isn't it? But how might you do this in a practical way? Let me give you one concrete way. You can sing and dance. And you're thinking, what? Here I am, overwhelmed with anxiety and despair. And Victoria, you're telling me to sing and dance? Exactly. I read a fascinating article recently entitled How Music Affects Your Mind, Your Mood, and Your Body. It was put out by Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare, and a few takeaways were these, and I'm going to quote, mostly quote here. They kind of asked two questions that I'm focusing on, and one was, does music alter moods and relieve stress? And they say, active music making positively affects neurotransmitters such as dopamine and serotonin that influence mood. Dopamine influences focus, concentration, memory, sleep, mood, and motivation. Likewise, serotonin, and you've heard of these chemicals, haven't you? These neurotransmitters and hormones, you've heard of these. Serotonin impacts mood, sleep patterns, anxiety, and pain. Active music making can involve singing, playing an instrument, or creating music electronically. Making music, specifically singing in a group, helps us feel connected to other people because of the production of what hormone? Do you know it? The hug hormone, the love hormone, it's oxytocin. Singing synchronizes breathing patterns to promote relaxation and reduce the hormone cortisol. What is the cortisol hormone also called? It's the fight flight thing. It's the stress hormone. So when you're anxious and you're fearful and you're in dire straits and you're despairing, you've got a lot of stress running through your body. So you can use music to alter your mood and to relieve some of that stress. The second question that I focused on in that article said, what changes does music have on your body? Singing, playing instruments, and even dancing can improve pain tolerance. Researchers found that physical movement used to create music provides a synchronized activity that significantly heightens your pain threshold. Because music is often an enjoyable activity, it can activate the release of endorphins, which create a general feeling of well-being. It can even reduce post-operative pain, physical tension, and influence heart and breathing rates. Fast music tends to increase pulse rate and blood pressure. Slow music tends to decrease pulse rate and blood pressure, as well as your breathing rate. Gosh, isn't music powerful? So, a friend, when you're afraid, overwhelmed, and anxious, I would encourage you to find a few songs that point directly to God and that will remind your soul of who God is in the midst of your trial. Songs that are filled with thanksgiving and praise to God. This type of singing and music making came very naturally to David. Do you remember that he played the harp? And the Psalms are really songs. They were meant to be sung. No doubt he sang them. You can effectively use music to change your mood and emotions. And just for fun, I thought, I'm going to give you three popular songs, and you may have heard them already, but you might want to listen to these every single day. Put them on repeat on your player. See what changes occur just after a week or two. Do you remember that I teach the 7 R's for living your best thought life? And by the way, if you'd like to snag this one-page infographic that details these steps, I'm going to put the link to this free resource in the show notes. Don't miss it. Well, step 4 of that process is literally to rewire your brain. And how do you do that? You do it by repeat life-giving truths. When you listen to and sing songs, and maybe you're even memorizing them, when you do that repeatedly, this is exactly what you're doing in your brain. You can choose songs that reflect God's character to help you shift your focus. Here are those 3 that you might want to start with. And I'm going to put the links to these 3 songs in the show notes. I have a feeling you've already heard them. The first one is Blessed Be Your Name, and it's by Matt Redman. This song acknowledges God's sovereignty and faithfulness, even in times of joy, both joy and sorrow. It expresses gratitude for God's blessings and praises Him regardless of circumstances. You're not going to focus on what is real, those very real and difficult circumstances, but instead you're going to focus on how grateful you are to God for the blessings. You're going to praise Him for those things. The lyrics include lines such as, "Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow." But then it shifts a little bit. It says, "You give and take away. You give and to take away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. It is so good. The second song is It Is Well With My Soul by Horatio Spafford. Have you heard that? Do you know his story? It's so intriguing. And he is able to rise above his very real situation of losing children. He's able to rise above that and say, It is well with my soul. And you're thinking, how on earth did he do that? But he wrote these lyrics. He wrote these lines. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Can you do that? Well, and the third one is called Even If by Mercy Me. And he says, I know you're able, talking to God, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. He kind of goes back to those famous lines from the Horatio Spafford song. It is well with my soul. Can you say that? Despite your very real challenges, the trials you're facing, the fires you're walking through, the flood you're barely able to keep your nose above the waterline. Can you say that? Can you say it is well with my soul? Try singing and dancing. Allow these songs to penetrate your spirit, your soul, and to speak God's truth to you, because you're using these songs to focus on who He is and what He says about you and your scenario. God is so good to us. Let's focus on Him. And you know, so, okay, where are we in our analysis of the three remarkable shifts in David's thinking as evidence of his desire to choose to think? He focused on thoughts of faith over thoughts of fear and anxiety. He used thoughts filled with gratitude and praise and thanksgiving instead of thoughts filled with the reality of his situation. And lastly, he engaged victorious thoughts of deliverance instead of those deafening thoughts of defeat. And this last little section we're going to go through is much briefer than so far. So hang with me here. So here we go. Number three, retrospection on past victories. In concluding the psalm, David wrote in these last verses, quote, you have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes, end quote. David recalls previous instances where God has delivered him from troubles and granted him victory over his enemies. Can you think of times in your life where God proved himself faithful to you and delivered you through a terrifying trial or an extremely difficult period of your life? Are you keeping a faith journal, for example, to record these instances? I hope so. And to use them like stone altars in your life, stone altars of remembrance. Do you remember how during the Exodus from Egypt, the people of Israel, the Hebrews, would erect stone altars? And like every time they walked by them, they were like reminders for them. That's the way I look at my faith journal. I'm like creating these, quote, altars that are supposed to point to God and His faithfulness in my life. And I have a little faith journal. So when something remarkable happens and, you know, I want to record it there, because even though it seems remarkable at the time, it's easy for me to forget those things. And truly, even as I'm saying this, I'm thinking, okay, God is faithful every single day. I have breath today. He's given me another day of life to declare His goodness and to praise Him and to be so grateful and thankful for my many blessings. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that by God's faithfulness to me in my life? I mean, I could even look at, we could be writing in our faith journal constantly, is what I'm trying to say, because every little thing that happens along the way is evidence of God's faithfulness in our lives. We may not see it that way, and we may take so many things for granted, but truly it is. But nevertheless, I keep a faith journal to record some instances, and then later I use them like a stone altar to point back to God in my life. Because by reflecting on these past experiences of God's faithfulness, it gives me confidence and reassurance that God will continue to be my deliverer. And that's exactly what David was doing. His retrospection helped him to replace the fear with faith and encouraged him to face his current challenges with courage and trust in God's providence. Now, here are some thoughts. Let's go back to our thoughts again. Maybe you're saying something like, you know, I'm facing something new in my life. I've never been here before. I never dreamt I would be here before. I can't believe I'm right here where I am, and I'm afraid I'm not going to make it. I won't overcome this. I feel like I'm just going to fail. I feel like I am a failure. Have you ever had those thoughts? Well, here are some replacement thoughts that are truth-filled. And yes, it's fine to acknowledge your feelings, but let's not stay stuck in some of those, because your feelings are going to impact your mood and consequently your behavior. Have you ever been so down and out that you're like, no, I'm not going to go join that group because I just feel so icky. I'm so depressed. You know, those are your, if you think about it, it goes from your thoughts. Something is generated with your thoughts, and emotions and thoughts kind of electronically, let's say electrically, I should say, not electronically, but electrically in your brain, that circuitry, they're like rapid fire, and they're like happening sometimes at the same time. You're feeling and you're thinking at the same time, and you're thinking and you're feeling at the same time. But nevertheless, let's say you have a thought that evokes a particular feeling really quickly, and then your feeling in turn produces some mood kind of change in you, and later subsequently that can influence your behavior and what you do and what you don't do, what you say, what you don't say, those sorts of things. So it's all intricately woven. But what I'm trying to encourage you to do is yes, recognize your feelings, convey what is real in your life. I'm not saying to ignore any of your hard situation, the reality. You can say, this is my reality. I have a loved one who's ill. That's my reality. I have a child who is wayward. That's my reality. I have a coworker who is so difficult to work with. That's my reality. My job is toxic. That's my reality. Okay, fine. We're going to acknowledge that. We're going to acknowledge the feelings that we have centered around that, but then we're going to choose thoughts that help us to paint a different picture and have a different focus. Why? Because we want different feelings. Why? Because we want a different mood. Why? Because we want different behavior. We want to operate out of a source of gratitude and contentment instead of out of defeat. I guess that's what I'm saying. So instead of focusing on, you know, I'm such a failure, this is just so difficult, I can't make it through, I can't do my life, those sorts of thoughts, how does this thought sound, or these thoughts? Though I'm uncertain about the future, I remember times when God has brought me through difficult situations. I will now trust in His faithfulness, and I will now believe that He will continue to guide me. Isn't that truth-filled and life-giving? Have you had this thought? I'm struggling with doubt and worry. I'm wondering if God will come through for me in this season of uncertainty. We'll try this on for size. Even in moments of doubt, I remember God's faithfulness in my life. He has never failed me before, and I trust that He will provide for me and lead me forward, even in the midst of uncertainty. And then it's like, end of story. The buck stops here. I'm going to stand on these life-giving truths instead of focus on my despair, focus on my very real situation. I'm going to choose to shift the perspective, just like David modeled for us. So if you feel like you're navigating through that deep, dark forest of life's challenges, it's essential to remember that you are not alone. Like David, you can declare, God, you have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes, on my enemies, on Satan. Satan has nothing on you. And it might be a good time in your life to just flat out rebuke him. Satan, get away. I am acknowledging God. I am God's child. Leave me alone. Get out. You and your wicked demons, any unclean spirits. Maybe it's time to do a little house cleaning, even in your mind and with your thoughts, and just declare it. That I do that often, actually, and I find it so helpful. And it just kind of clears the air and sets a new canvas that is nice and white and clean. And it's going to be stamped and painted with God's truths instead. Notice the verb tense in those last few lines of the psalm. You have done it before. Notice the implication. Because God, you have done this before, I can trust you will do it again. You brought me to victory over my enemies and their wicked schemes. So you too remember that you have a light in your hand, God's word. You have the shelter of God's name, and you have God with you as you go. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is your shelter during tough times. His spirit will encourage you to keep pressing forward. There are brighter days ahead for you, I promise. And I personally encourage my heart and soul often by reminding myself that this season will not last forever. This too shall pass. There is purpose in your pain. There is hope for your future. God is growing you, and you can be responsive and learn as you go. In closing, you too can pray like David did. You can exercise your faith like he did, and you can proclaim that God always was, God always is, and God always will be. He has your back. You are yoked to him. His spirit guides you. His word is your sword. Armor up, sweet daughter and dear son. You got this. And I'd like to close with a prayer for you, especially if you are really struggling and life is beating you down, or if you're in a season of transition and change. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your strength, your power, your faithfulness, your might. Thank you that your name is our strong tower and fortress. Thank you for never leaving us, your children, alone in this world to fight battles on our own. Thank you for equipping us to think, for giving us the mind of Christ, for teaching us to look to the mountain, to you, the God of heaven and earth. Thank you for helping us encourage our hearts with these life-giving thoughts. Change the very chemical structures of our brains as we focus on you, your word, and your character. Thank you for giving us your Son, for Jesus Christ, who died for us, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father. We love you. We adore you. Help us to know you deeper. Help us to know you more. Teach us your ways. Help us to sense your presence even now, this very moment, as you guide us. Help us to sing, Lord, and help us to dance, even if we feel like we're in prison. May you and you alone be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's a wrap, Brain Changer. And listen, if you like what you hear, would you leave us a 1-2 sentence review at Apple Podcasts, share the link with a friend, or tag me on your share on social media? It would mean the world to me and would help us to keep shining the light of Christ and sharing the good news to others who are in need of encouragement. Please visit us on our website at choosetothink.co. That's with the number 2, choosetothink.co, to get on our monthly newsletter list. And if you need a guest speaker for your next women's retreat or church event, I'm your gal. Email me at choosetothink@gmail.com, and that's with the number 2, choosetothink@gmail.com. Finally, I offer limited free mentoring sessions each month where you and I can chat to help you develop a strategy for your thoughts in any area of your life. I'm a certified life coach, and I have something to share. Visit choosetothink.co and click on mentoring for more details. Also, keep in mind that the messages on this show are for informational and educational purposes only. Please consult your medical doctor for all medical issues. Thank you again for tuning in. God bless you.